All I can tell you is that it's getting real serious around here when you have to bring back the old horses. I'm not a horse, though.
You're all right, Sam.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm all right. I just dumped a glass of water on the pulpit. I almost didn't come up here, but I'm going to get some help here right shortly. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Getting a little bit doppy, they say. How about right here?
You did it right.
Huh?
I said you did it right.
I did good, didn't I? That's a good start. Well, thank you. My thoughts this morning, of course, are rambling. Thinking about all the things that are going on around us. I want to say to you that are responsible for making this church happen, and I'm sort of in neutral. I found much more pushback this time in preparing for this, and I've experienced that a lot in my lifetime, but it seemed like this time it was a lot more pushback from the enemy for just accepting the responsibility. And I tried to talk my way out of it. I really wanted to be in Indiana this weekend. The convention is going on. I haven't missed it for years. And now all of a sudden I had to make a decision on that. The funeral in Pennsylvania that's happening tomorrow, good friend of mine. These are things that bother me. It's kind of perplexing. Is our Sunday school lesson. We are perplexed about these things, but not in despair. I didn't give up. I don't understand God's ways, and I don't understand all of that. I know about that. And I thought about all the different things that are happening. There's this death in Pennsylvania, the Hoovers, that we know them well. The death in Kansas with the Nisleys. They had to make a decision which way they're going, whether they want to all go to Kansas for the funeral, but it was decided, as I understand, that some will go to Kentucky and have the reunion, which is okay, and the other part will be in Kansas to bury a loved one. Then I hear that there are tragedy somewhere in Utah where an airplane went down, where the Nylons were on, and I understand three of the Nylon singers were killed. There were seven on the airplane. They all died, all perished. There was family members. There were the pilot, his wife, I'm not sure who all. There were three of the Nylons on a way to Alaska to enjoy a cruise. It's hard to do. It's difficult to know how all this works out. Here we are together this morning enjoying each other, and that's great. I want to say to the school board and those of you that make things happen around here, having a school is hard work. The reason we have a school is because there were those who saw the need for it many years ago. I can tell you there have been many times when there were those who thought we couldn't go on. We just can't do this. But we did it. It was done. There were those who made it happen. And there are those of you now that are in that place. We need to encourage you that you will not quit, not give up. It is tough. I've said this, having a school, there are two things that will destroy a church quicker than anything I know. Based on history, I can throw you all kinds of information about that if you need to have it. I can tell you of different communities where schools have been closed, their doors are shut, they have buildings, but there's no activity. Why? Too hard. Too difficult. Don't quit. Don't give up. I know you're perplexed, Brother Aaron. I know it's tough. Your responsibility lies on you to find a teacher. And you feel like you've got to do it. You have got to get this done. There is no way out, but there is. Have you ever thought about it? Is it really God's will that there's a teacher? As big as God is, can he not find one? Where is he at? Ever thought of that? Sure you have. Where are you, God? Somebody's out there. Now, we use terms like God is never late. It's kind of a frivolous term, I think, because when you're there, and you're there, the one that is searching for the help, it doesn't feel right, does it? But it is okay. Paul said he was perplexed. Our Sunday school lesson tells us that. He was perplexed, but he said he didn't despair. I don't know how he did that, but he didn't. Church work is also difficult. Church building projects can destroy a church. I've seen it happen. I've seen that along with schools where they close doors because it's just too much to do. I personally had responsibility in Texas, Cleburne, little church there that I love very much, and just couldn't hardly deal with the fact that they had to close their doors. You know why? Couldn't find anybody to take responsibility, go forward with it. Nobody in the group would take responsibility. I made many trips to Cleburne and almost entertained the idea of moving there, but knew that wasn't the right idea. But I thought about it. So there are these kind of things that we're dealing with today. So remember those, if you will, that are struggling and perplexing in the areas of whatever, health issues. I got my own problems. No need talking about it. They're just there. They'll be all right someday. The subject that I've chosen this morning is kind of a tough one, and I am not sure why I did it. But I did. I do not want this to be a negative thing, but if I'm not careful, it will be. It is called apostasy, and that is a term that I don't think you've heard here in a long time. Probably not, maybe you don't even know what the word means. It could be, but it doesn't matter. It's really not a biblical term. I don't know that you can even find it, the word in the Bible. So it has its meaning in the fact of what happens. And what it means is that it's things in life. It can be extremely negative if we're not careful. It comes from the word backsliding. And let me see if I can find it quickly. Proverbs 14, I believe it is. It says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Now, the word shall be satisfied is in italics in my Bible, so that means that was not original. So if I would read it like this, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. You ever think about getting rid of your own ways? What happens? Kind of tough to get rid of my own ways. You know, I am who I am. You are who you are. But to get rid of that is not easy. And a good man from himself. Well, that's just kind of a spin-off. I will read from Matthew 24, in, as a text, and I'll reuse verses 4 through 13 as our text this morning. And apostasy is not much, you don't hear much of it today. The word actually means change, when you change from something, or you give up something, you might quit going to church. That could be apostasy. Or you might quit being a Christian, which is a bigger one. You might say, I don't want to be that. That kind of fits in the idea of being in the apostate condition, such. Now, there are warnings about this, being a backslider is really more, and it's a negative thing. It's not something that we really want to talk about. It's not something that we're interested in. Now, I have no thought that anybody here is guilty here. So don't go home and say, well, Sam said we're a bunch of backsliders. That's not saying it. I'm really not sure why I'm doing this, because, you know, you should be a little bit more sure. I like Brian's idea. He was real sure that he was not thankful, and he needed to talk about it, and he needed to get his act together. That's what I got from what you said. And I heard you say that you are more thankful because of what you said. Apostasy is not like that necessarily, but being a backslider is simply walking away from the faith and giving up your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, that is serious apostasy in my book. It used to be in years ago that when we talked about apostasy, we were talking about changing churches. Actually, that's incorrect. I think I'll read my verses and then we'll go from there. Verse 4, and I read from the King James. I can't quite get out of King James. It says old-fashioned. I'm just old. I know a lot of you read other different translations. I have them at the house. And I've thought about bringing one of them sometime and reading from it here. But chances are you probably wouldn't have what I have, because I have old books. The new books are different. They are. It says in verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. A nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilence, earthquake, in different places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated for all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, shall hate one another. False prophets shall rise, will deceive many, because iniquity shall abound, and love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure shall be the end, the same shall be saved. So that's kind of where I want to be, is a person that is faithful. Now, I'm in a place in life different than what you are, but really not. You know, every time I bring that up to someone, it's like, no, someone that's 40 years younger than me, I would say that, and they would say, well, I could go before you, and that's true. We do not have, but for some reason, as we get in our 80s, it's different, and we are closer to that time. And you can tell I don't walk as fast as I used to. I I walk slow. I'm careful. I have to have help getting up here. And I said, and I used this podium to get up here. And when I need you to help me get up here, I'm done. It's over. So when I think about this whole idea of apostasy and backsliding, I'm not thinking about you, okay? But I am cautious, and I don't want us to go there, is what my problem is. I would not want us to shut things down here. That would be disastrous for me. And I don't want that to change. May not matter, but it does make a difference. I think the biggest thing that we need to be concerned about is deception. Now, deception is not just a religious thing. It's not. It hasn't been long ago that Brother Junior was up here and was talking about deception, and I thought, he's really trying to tell us about deception, but he's not quite there. It wasn't quite, I want you to think about this, deception. What comes to your mind when you think of deception? Being deceived. Someone asked me, what is that? What is deception? Well, I think everybody here, except me, is in business for themselves. Maybe Austin and I would fit the same category. But the rest of you, well, Atlee is not. He's retired. Reuben's almost there. No, he is there. But being in business for yourself, think about the times that you were promised something and it didn't work out. You were deceived. Because the person who promised you, you did work for them and they didn't pay you. They promised to pay you, but they didn't. You were deceived. It tells us here that we are to be cautious about these things in the spiritual world as well. Some of us, all of us, I think I would be safe in saying that every one of us here this morning have made a commitment to God. We've made promises. Now, we cannot allow hard times to get in the way of following through with that. Some of us being closer to that than others, perhaps. But little do we know, those people on that airplane, they were younger, healthy, singing, music, they were popular, they were famous. And within, they don't know what happened. They haven't decided that. They're, of course, as always in an airplane crash, there has to be, and the National Transportation has to go in and do all their work. So it'll be a long time till we know what actually happened. But obviously they crashed in a remote area, lost whatever. And so it's a big tragedy. And so we must keep that in mind. So there's these difficult times that we can look at. And this particular chapter talks about all the things, and I can't think of any of this other than when the gnats are around. It seems like you're awfully close to the end of time when those gnats are in your face and you can't get rid of them. Get yourself some off with DEET in it and it'll get rid of them. End of that. You don't have to worry about the end of time when you do that. It takes care of things. So there's a way out of that. It's real good. But listen, there are places in this world where that's not the case. In Asia, in different places, I can't think of the man's name now that is in part of BMA, Biblical Mennonite Alliance, that is in other parts of the world. I can't even think of where it's at. But he is a member. He is an Asian, I think an Asian. And he has, they've had to leave their country because of violence, wars, not just rumors of war, actual wars. And they went to Egypt. His wife and was a Muslim, and they have become Christians. So there are these places in the world where this is actually happening. Aren't we blessed in America where this is not going on? Well, let me move on. Matthew's gospel speaks to those who have and will experience difficult times. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, and I tell you, that is a very serious matter in our life today. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, let no man deceive you by any means. And that has happened. Unfortunately, there are those that we know who have walked the wrong trail. Now, here it talks about difficult times. Now, I want to say something about technology here. You know, when I first became a Christian, there were no computers, and there was no tablets and phones and stuff to make life pleasant and easy and less complicated. And we had to dig. We had to hunt for stuff. Devotions. You had to hunt for it. It wasn't just get on the computer and click, 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 and, oh, I like that. I just print it and read it. Great. That's a good thing. We didn't have that. I didn't have computers to help me prepare a sermon. I had books, dictionaries, Greek manuals, all kinds of books to search and read, and I can't hardly see to read anymore. My eyes are getting dim. The Bible talks about that. But it was hard work to get it together. Now, it's easy. Actually, those of you that have devotions, I listen to you and I'm thinking, man, I wonder how much time he put in that. About three clicks on the computer and printer running and a bingo, and we got it. I like that. I'll just read that. That's good enough. Pulling information from the computer is real simple. I understand. Now, listen, I'm not saying that that's bad. I didn't say that you shouldn't do it. I didn't say that. Did you hear me say it? You look like I did. Come on now, I didn't say that. I have a computer. I have a phone. Does the same thing yours does. And I use it. And I have found the difference in that as well. I like to look up stuff. I do. But you know what? We need to be a little careful with that too. A little cautious, is what I would say. It can turn us into a difficult time if we're not careful. Actually, if you go back into the gospel, not in the gospels, but the, I want to say prophets, but that don't sound right. Apostles, there you go. Their writings, what they wrote from Acts all the way through, you'll find a whole lot more about this thing about backsliding than what I just read to you. It's really there. Timothy really gets into it, and some of the stuff he talks about it. 1 Timothy says, people departing from the faith. I say that is the hardest thing that we got to worry about, is that we stay true to what we have committed to God. It's kind of like a marriage vow. We need, And in fact, Timothy talks about that, giving heed to seducing spirits. You know, there are a lot of spirits around. We need to be careful with that. Doctrines of devils. Oh, we don't have that. Oh, yes, we do. It's around. Last Sunday, our Sunday school lesson was real strong about understanding the following or the knowing the Spirit's direction. And I hear that here. I hear it, that you're sensitive to that. And I hope you will continue to be even more to that. And I've said I wish I could learn more about that than just the letter of the law. Lies and hypocrisy, forbidding to marry. There's a story that I want to share about that. The other evening, my sister was here from Florida, and her son was here, and we had a really good time. We got our children together and grandchildren, and we had a hot dog roast, and had nothing to do with hypocrisy or apostasy, but it was something we did. And I'm sitting across from one of my granddaughters who needs a little growth yet. And she was, and she had this ring on her finger with a big diamond on it. And she's real proud of it. And the thing was, and she wanted to know that, Grandpa, did you see this? I said, how could I help? The thing's flashing in my eyes, causing me blindness. And she laughed, and her future was there sitting beside her, and she was and they're not married, but they live together. That's wrong. But you know what? They have absolutely no guilt about it at all. And I didn't sit there and listen to them communicate back and forth. This is what I heard. She looked at me and she said, Grandpa, you have a ring. No. And I'm thinking, oh God, what's coming next? Because her elevator stopped somewhere up here. I don't know where it went, but it stopped. She's beautiful. I mean, she's a good girl. Trust me, I think she's going to be all right, but she's got some ways to go yet. But she's getting married. Big thing. I mean, that's a big thing. But they're not married yet. They're living together like husband and wife. And she was, evidently, he doesn't want to wear a ring. And she looked at him and she said, and she laughed about it too, and she said, well, how are they going to know you're married? I don't understand what I'm saying here. I hope you do. I hope you can put together what I just said. It don't make sense, does it? And she looked at me and she said, Grandpa, you don't have a ring. Of course not. I never had one. Don't plan to have one. I'm not downing the ring thing. Now don't go off on that trail. In the Timothy's day, there was this thing of forbidding to marry. What did it mean? Well, it didn't mean what I just said. It means that they thought that virgins were more spiritual than the married women. Now, that's a subject of his own. We can go down the trail of that, and I'm not going there, but that's what it's talking about. Let me do this. The Holy Spirit imparted to the apostles spiritual gifts. Through them, spiritual gifts were imparted everywhere in the early church. Gifts of wisdom, knowledge, prophecy, discerning of spirits, those gifts continued until the Holy Spirit had prepared the New Testament to guide the church. Let me tell you, folks, your Bible is what you need to pay attention to, not the computer. We need to dig, and I'm guilty. I have to admit that I have guilt in that area. I have to get off the computer and get into my Bible. We all need to do that. That's where it's at, not anywhere else. Deception is so subtle and easy to get involved in things that are not good. Reuben, do you have a song?
717.
If you'll stand, we'll pray and we'll be done. Father, we pause at this moment because we want to say thank you for caring for us, for meeting our needs, and we're thinking this morning of those who are sad because of loss, separation, death, a lot of things that are going on in their lives that you care about, we know. Thank you for taking care of those needs as well. Please be with the Hoovers in their need. Be with the Bontriggers in Kansas that are, again, the same thing. The Nealons, and there are others in the world that we know that have experienced perplexity, but not despair. Thank you for our service this morning, that we could be together and worship you in the way we did. And please be with all our families, our friends. Care for all of their needs, and we thank you for it. And we do so in Jesus' name. Amen.